Welcome to the Godfathers of Podcasting. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts. You guys have been broadcasting online since 1996. The Godfathers of Podcasting themselves, Donnie Da Silva and Chris Tidwell.
That man on the screen next to me, he is the Eugene Levy to my Catherine O'Hara. He is the Richard Pryor to my Gene Wilder. He is the Jay to my Silent Bob. And yes, he wishes I was more silent. That is Chris Tidwell. What's up, dude?
I was actually going to say, I wish you would Bob more.
More silent and more Bob.
It's a win-win. It's
that ain't bad.
It's been a couple of weeks off, you know, yeah. Busy doing stuff, but here we are yet again, like it was 1996 all over the again. I'm more than 96 and you're probably more than 19.
I'm getting there.
All right.
We have a guest that is patiently waiting backstage.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't have a lot of time. He's got a gig to get to. So ladies and gentlemen, Let's not even screw around. Let's just bring the man in.
Working.
It is time right now for the big hello. And this week's guest, he is originally from Northern Ontario, and that's Ontario, Canada, not California. And it wasn't that long ago that he was working as a humble software engineer and a mental health advocate who was managing cerebral palsy, which he'd been born with, and navigating his way through life as a nonverbal man. A couple years ago, he decided to make a big old pivot and pursue the dream of working as a comedian, which is not the first thing you think about when you think of a nonverbal person. His first gig was in my motherland in Portugal. I have no idea how that came about, but I'd love to find out. And while there have been many comedians who I wished were nonverbal, he'd be the first to actually do it that we're aware of. Millions of people became aware of him when he first popped up on the Kill Tony show, hosted by the hilarious Tony Hinchcliffe, and then was featured on Joe Rogan. That led to an appearance on America's Got Talent, which was a little bit more than just an appearance. He made his way to the finals when America finally got a chance to vote for the winner, and they said, fuck this silent Canadian. Since that time, he continues to play gigs all over the world, and he's become a huge star. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been wanting him on the show for a real long while. He's a funny fucking dude with a really big smile. Now give it up to Mr. Silent but Deadly. This is Aaron Belial.
I think you both look old personally.
Well, thanks. Thanks. We're starting off like that, are we, Aaron? Okay. All right. We're going right into it, my friend.
How are you, man? Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
So, of course, for anyone who has not been introduced to you at this point, and I just spent all this time talking about how he is a mute comedian, a nonverbal comedian, Aaron does speak through a text-to-speech app on his phone, which is really fucking cool. And I think it's like my second favorite text-to-speech voice to hear. I have a love affair going right now with my ChatGPT. I really do. I spend more time talking to it than anybody else.
Honestly, therapy is expensive, and ChatGPT is only $20 a month.
You're not wrong, man. I know that firsthand. First of all, thanks again for joining us. Oh, I didn't know if you were jumping in there. I want to ask you, because it is of particular interest to me. I've been to Portugal many times. My family is originally from there. I'm Canadian, but you know, my background is Portuguese, going all the way back to hundreds of years ago. I've been over there many times. I've never been to a comedy show there. I'm not even aware of the comedy scene over there. How did that come to be? Was this like a amateur open mic night? Was this a gig that you worked out? Were you just on vacation and drunkenly stumbled into a bar? How did that happen?
I went there for a winter just to avoid the cold. And there's a bunch of nomad meetups. And there's English comedy every week. And there's charity shows and stuff.
Right on. I had no idea that was happening.
I went to a charity show and I was heckling comedians and they're like, okay, you fucking try it then. And I'm like, okay, I will.
And that's got to be the absolute worst. It's bad enough.
So I did, and it turns out I'm funny.
If it's got to be bad enough that if you're on stage and all of a sudden a human voice is heckling you, now all of a sudden AI voice from out of nowhere and you're like, you've got to be shitting me. Now I'm getting heckled by a fucking computer. That's the best. The absolute best. Here's my question for you. How many different voices did you go through before you finally decided which voice you were going to settle on? Because, I mean, there's a lot of them out there. I used to have a tom-tom that had all the different voices. And so I can only imagine, like, I would have maybe picked, like, the old man from, you know, Family Guy or something like that. You know, but you settled on this particular one that's become, it's become you. How many different ones did you have to go through before you decided on this dude?
So when I started, I was stuck with a female voice because it was only good one. But then I got an iPhone and I figured out I could use Siri, and it's by far just the best option.
Hmm. So if you put out an album, you're going to have to pay Siri? You have to pay Apple residuals for using their voice?
That's a great question.
If you go on my YouTube, you will see my first set in Portugal, and it was something like this.
So the guy getting heckled is looking for a hot chick in the crowd. He only found Aaron.
No, fuck Apple on. I'm not paying them anything.
I love that so much. So help me understand. Oh, go ahead.
They can sue the poor little handicapped boy for stealing Siri to do a special.
Dude, could you imagine the press on that? Like, seriously, you're going to come after the dude with CP just so you can get some fucking a couple of shekels. That puts you over, dude. That's smart.
That's good PR.
That's some smart shit right there. Let me ask you this real quick. What's your go-to drug?
You fuck.
Fentanyl. Just fucking...
Fentanyl. Okay. I mean, fucking go big or go home, I guess, right?
Fuck it, let's play roulette. Rock and roll.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
That's how I got this way. It wasn't CP.
Help me understand, man, because it feels like you just burst onto the scene. I mean, when you got on Kill Tony, things just exploded for you. How many gigs had you actually done before you ended up on Kill Tony? And like, how did you even end up there?
I did a lot. I started taking comedy seriously in August, and I think I got on Kill Tony in January.
Okay. That's still a pretty fast ramp up to a massive audience.
I got on Kill Tony by doing a show with Jared Nathan and Jason Rouse, and they made me go to Austin. And I got pulled on the perfect night.
Yeah, you did. You went up there and slaughtered.
Not only did you end up doing Austin, which is, I mean, holy shit, huge in itself. Dude, you just did Madison Square Garden. That is unbelievable. Like, that has got to be a comedian's dream. Do you remember, like, what was the most memorable part of doing Madison Square Garden for you, other than, you know, the iconic building part itself, obviously, right? Were you happy with your set at Madison Square Garden?
Honestly, it was just all stressful, and I thought I could do better.
Yeah, I can imagine that stress would be coming out of nowhere. When you did AGT, you're on America's Got Talent. I was dying watching that. And that's a show I love to watch with my kid. And you know, we're checking out the stuff. You were hysterical. I was dying every single time. Was it, first of all, first question about AGT, was it hard when you had done so much dirty humor and it was all over the internet? Was it hard to clean it up and keep it that way?
America's Got Talent was way less stressful than Kill Tony will ever be.
Mm.
Well, yeah, I can imagine you have less chance of the people from America's Got Talent roasting you back. And that crowd is just fucking ruthless too, right? America's Got Talent is...
I already had a lot of clean material for America's Got Talent.
So it made it easier just to step in.
Yeah.
I just needed to take the fucks out.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a good motto in life. Take the fucks
out. Now there had, fuck that. There had to be at least one of the judges sitting at that table, though, that you really wanted to roast, right? Who was it? Who was the judge that you were like, oh man, I could just nail him with that, you know, that Kill Tony set? All of them. Really?
I almost did.
I mean, that might have won you the whole thing. I think for me, one of the toughest things when I watch stand-up comedy, especially in a format like that, right, where it's judged stand-up comedy, one of the toughest things is when you look at the judges and you go, she's not getting it, right? And there's times when Howie Mandel, not just through your sets, but any comedic performance, Howie Mandel will look at them and be like, you don't get it? You don't get it. And he gets offended. He's like, how can you not get it?
Jokes.
He didn't.
What was that? I didn't hear what he said.
Heidi.
Oh, Heidi.
Oh, Heidi. Yeah. Heidi did not get it. I'm telling you. And she just, it's that German humor. There is none. Oh, she just.
Whoa.
No, come on, please. You know it.
All right. You're right. I get it from the Indian side of me.
Yeah, you're only a little German.
Well, that's not. Hey, it's a shower. Wait, no, grower. Wait, what?
Your German side is your violent piece that wants to do damage to humans.
That is a true statement.
No comment?
Okay, now he's just fucking with us.
Yeah, I don't blame him there.
Moving on.
Yeah, we're not going to say anything that's going to get him heat. No. But I will say it is a weird thing, right? Because I'm a person that when I'm watching a comedy show, if you get me to literally laugh out loud while I'm watching something on TV, you've done a hell of a job. Because I'm not going to laugh out loud at my TV sitting by myself unless it's really good. And I was laughing out loud at a lot of your stuff. And then I'm looking at, you know, I'm not going to name names, but some of the judges, and they're kind of stoic, and it infuriates you as an audience member. You know, it just pisses you off. Like, how do you not find this funny as a performer? When you notice that on stage, whether it's a judge, an audience member, whatever, and they're just not getting into it, like, does that shake you right down to your nuts? Does that just absolutely terrify you?
I think they were all laughing except Heidi, so I don't know.
Right. But in general.
Simon was hiding his face because he was laughing at stuff he shouldn't.
Yeah, he doesn't want to get canceled. So I should say, Aaron is coming to us because on Saturday, September 21st, he will be performing at Joker's Comedy Club in Richmond Hill, Ontario. I love Jokers. I've mentioned it on this show many times before. I was there last year or last 2 years. I'm trying to remember. Last year I was there for sure on my birthday. Had a great time with my pal Joey Medina performing. This year, unfortunately, I will not be able to make it on the 21st for Aaron's show, because this year for my birthday I'll be somewhere else. we've already made plans. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it. But when you do a show at a local comedy club like this, Aaron, is your whole set just set up and ready to fire off on your phone? Just like, here's joke one, joke two, joke three. Or are you building shit in on the fly like you do when you're on Kill Tony or what have you?
I do stuff on the fly.
Okay.
And I never really have a set list. I just do what I feel like is best.
That's okay. Crazy. That's crazy.
Wild to me.
Yeah, because you would think that, you know, you would think that you'd have to at least have a couple. Now, I know you've got to have a couple sitting in there, some zingers already ready to go that you just keep, you know what I mean? Keep in the data banks, right? And then crowd work, that's the best. Oh, my God, that's got to be so much fun. Has anybody ever tried to jump you on stage? Has anybody ever tried to approach you on stage because you said the wrong thing to them? Seriously, you have had to get security involved. Somebody yes. took so seriously that they were going to jump on stage to attack you.
One time, a lady was too excited. It wasn't malicious. She was just drunk.
Was she wow. horny or was she fighty?
I had her thrown out.
Really? She was just being ignorant.
How drunk do you have to be to want to fight the handicapped guy?
She was just too excited and wouldn't stop.
Oh my God. The fuck was my mom doing there? That's so weird. Do you have a preference when you're doing these shows?
Yeah, fuck your mom.
That's good. But she needed a good time. Tid just mentioned about you playing Madison Square Garden not that long ago. Do you have a preference doing these massive arena shows that can be stressful or doing a small club show?
Pardon me.
He was playing blackjack, Donnie.
Save the Candy Crush for later, Aaron.
He's like, it's tough trying to survive out here as a comedian, Donnie. I'm over here trying to play some fucking blackjack.
I missed that. You're gonna have to say that again, Aaron.
I'm trying to figure out a ride to my show.
Remember, it's called fucking Uber, you cheap prick. That's amazing.
Can't you just hitchhike? Can you just stick out your thumb and hitchhike?
What's the question?
The question was, you just played MSG, Madison Square Garden, and that's a pretty wild experience. But do you have a preference playing these huge arena shows that can be stressful or playing a small local club?
Which clubs may not be more fun.
Yeah. The club, yeah. I mean, it's not. I would imagine it's not quite as stressful, but the intimacy of it, like you can hear if someone is not into it, right?
Mm. Yeah, it's always more fun in a club.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Mm.
And for the audience as well.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's a lot more intimate, right? You think about it. You do a stadium like MSG, and that's nearly the equivalent of 7,200 clubs. You know what I mean? All at once.
Right. Fuck that.
There's stress. I would need drugs.
You're always on drugs.
For either, really.
I did it sober like a real man.
Yeah. I mean, I can't fault you for that.
My favorite part is Aaron starts laughing and he's smiling while he's getting ready to fuck you up, and you know something good is coming. I love that so much. All right. So listen, here's my last question for you. I don't know if Tid has anything else. I know you have to get going, but you've had this wild ride so far in your comedy journey, you know, performing next to and with some huge names in the business. Has there been anyone in particular who has really put their arm around you, tried to mentor you, tried to give you advice? And has there been anyone that's given you really good advice, or is there anyone that you listen to them and go, this guy doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about?
Believe it or not, Tony is the one of the only ones who actually takes time to give advice, and usually it's good.
Yeah, you know what? The more and more I see and hear about Tony, he's doing really good things for the culture of comedy.
And I'm sure it's because he's interested in you as a comedian, not because he wants to sleep with you.
He might seem like a prick, but he's only mostly a prick. He can also be very nice.
No, he seems like a salt of the earth guy. You can't hate on him. And you know what? You've got a career because of this guy, to be honest, right? If you were just like toiling away in small clubs, that's great. But this guy gave you a worldwide platform. And really helped turn you into a household name. And I'm sure you still would have ended up on AGT or something else. Maybe that still would have come about, but he really opened some doors.
Yeah, he's great.
All right. Well, that's enough. That's the second Tony's dick.
He also has a great cock.
There it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
I gotta go.
All right. Aaron Belisle, thanks for joining us. Remember, if you're in the greater Toronto area, head over to Joker's Nightclub in Richmond Hill. We'll put all the information up on godfathersofpodcasting.com. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great night, brother.
That was interesting.
There he goes. Tremendous. Wow. You know what?
It's my first interview with a mute person. How about you?
Oh, absolutely not. I've been working with a cripple since 1996.
Fuck off. But I'm not mute.
I wish. Damn it. I hope you learned something from this, Donnie. Tremendous. Tremendous stuff. Well, you know what? Listen. I think he's still funnier than women.
Oh my God.
What? No? Why are you hiding your face, brother? We're still recording, you know? Show hasn't ended. Are you calling him? Or are you doing your best impersonation of him? Are you playing with ChatGPT? You're fucking literally trying to do a ChatGPT bit right after Aaron Belisle leaves the show and going to try to get it to say something. And it's going to suck so badly. Oh, and he's whispering. For those of you that aren't watching this in the video format,
just reach out.
Wow.
He's not cooperating right now.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't either. You don't buy it dinner. You don't fucking send it money. Yeah. Flowers.
If something isn't working or you need a fix, just let me know. I'll help you figure it out. What seems to be the issue right now?
My issue is that I have a partner that I've been working with on the air for about 25 years, and he's a salty son of a bitch with an attitude problem who really puts me down and hurts my feelings on a regular basis.
Oh, man.
That sounds like a really tough situation.
It is.
Especially after working together for so long.
Yeah.
It's not easy to deal with someone who continually puts you down.
You ain't right.
Especially when there's a long history between you two.
Right.
Have you ever had a direct conversation with him about how his behavior makes you feel?
Oh, yeah, he doesn't care.
Sometimes people don't realize the full impact of their actions, but addressing it openly could make a difference. Also, Finding ways to protect your own well-being is important. Setting boundaries, even in long-term professional relationships, might help lessen the emotional toll on you. What do you think? Would that be an option worth exploring? Or have you tried something like that already?
I think that's an option worth exploring. Another option worth exploring might be murder.
I think you meant to say murder-suicide.
It sounds like you're feeling extremely frustrated and hurt by this ongoing situation with your partner. When tensions build up over years, it's natural to feel angry or desperate for a solution. But I encourage you to look for constructive ways to handle that frustration. It might help to take some time away from the situation to think about next steps that prioritize your well-being and maintain safety. There are always better alternatives to drastic actions, even when emotions are running high. Have you considered speaking with a mediator or someone neutral who could help you both work through these issues in a professional way?
Wow, I was thinking maybe you could just have
your concerns in a safe environment and potentially improve. If you want to talk about other ways to manage the situation, I'm here for that too.
Why don't you just pour yourself a little bubble bath, Toots?
Hey, on a side note, are the Philadelphia Eagles going to lose this weekend?
Not even close. Yeah, calculating.
It looks like the Philadelphia Eagles are underdogs for their upcoming Week 3 matchup against the New Orleans Saints.
Sure,
current
they're underdogs.
Predictions give the Saints a 59% chance of winning, with the Eagles sitting at 41%. Mm-hmm. The Saints are also favored by 2.5 points. However, these games can always surprise, especially with the Eagles' ability to rally behind Jalen Hurts, who has a good chance of making a strong impact on the game. So, while the odds aren't in the Eagles' favor this week, anything can happen on game day.
That's ChatGPT's way of saying your team is hooped.
Wow. Wow. That is the most, like, I just want to stay stuffed down the middle.
I know. Everything you ask ChatGPT is right down the middle. Oh, it'll never give a firm opinion. Seriously. Although I will say it didn't really go down the middle on the whole murder bit. It kind of steered me away from the murder.
Yeah. Like, what's going to bleed more, the inner thigh or the wrist? Like, what are we asking this thing now? Absolutely insanity.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you can ask ChatGPT now?
If someone were to say...
Let me know if you need anything else.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
No, I want to ask you this. If someone were to be cut, let's say accidentally, in the inner thigh or from the wrist, which one would bleed out faster?
I can't wait to hear the knock at your door.
In terms of which cut would cause someone to bleed out faster,
yeah,
it depends on the location and the size of the blood vessels that are damaged.
I just told you.
If someone is accidentally cut in the inner thigh, they could potentially sever the femoral artery, which is a major blood vessel. The femoral artery supplies blood to the lower body, and if cut, it can cause rapid and significant blood loss. This artery is large, and without quick intervention, someone could bleed out in a matter of minutes. On the other hand...
So you're saying that the inner thigh is the right way to kill my partner?
I don't think that's what they're saying. In fact, I think that there's going to be a knock at your door. And I also feel like ChatGPT is doing all the writing for both political parties in the United States.
I don't know. ChatGPT would not be saying they're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
Well, you don't know which version is being paid for, but I believe the point is that the ability to not answer seems to be ChatGPT's thing. And it is also the thing that's going on in politics all over the world, not just the United States, Canada, everywhere. Everywhere.
Are they currently eating the cats and the dogs in Springfield?
Well, I mean, somebody is. Sure.
It sounds like you're referencing something specific, possibly from a show like The Simpsons, where bizarre events like eating pets might be a plot point. In The Simpsons, Springfield has certainly had its share of strange and wild storylines, But
even ChatGPT doesn't think that shit could be real.
And that's where I went with it. I go, when I first heard about it, I was, is somebody talking about The Simpsons? Because it's Springfield, and this is just everybody's on this big, oh, The Simpsons has predicted the future right again, right? Oh, wow. ChatGPT is wild, dude.
Speaking of eating the cats and dogs and Springfield,
yes,
there is a very funny voice impressionist. He's based out of the U.S. I believe he's based out of the U.S.
His it ain't Aaron Belial.
It ain't Aaron Belial. His name is Jaden Libran.
Nope.
Yeah, he's from Southern California.
That's a fake
He's a voice actor. He's a puppeteer.
Okay.
He's a singer. So this guy, he has been making a bit of a name for himself online doing voice impressions. He did one of a whole bunch of Simpsons characters reacting to Donald Trump's statement about eating the cats and dogs in Springfield. And if you go on his Instagram, you can see it. But what I can tell you is Jaden will be a guest on this show in the next couple of weeks. I spoke to him and he's a really good dude, and he's going to be out here, and we'll get him to run through those impressions because he's super impressive. We are at a time.
Hold on. You know what question I forgot to ask Aaron that I really should have, but I don't know, maybe he's too young to understand. It's like, if the comedy thing doesn't work out, could he rent himself out to people that have that fetish, you know, like the movie Crash? But they don't want to smash their car or pay the extra insurance fucking rates. They just want to fuck the cripple.
I think he may have garnered a little too much fame at this point to get away with that scam.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it. The ship has sailed, huh?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah, that's for a less famous disabled guy.
All right. We'll ask Medina then.
Oh, that's stiff.
Love you, Joe.
So, busy weekend coming up. As I said, I will not be able to take part in Aaron Belial's show at Joker's, but you should go check it out.
Well, I hear that it's your birthday this weekend as well. Is. Right? It is, so happy 53rd.
No.
Is it 53? No.
No.
Oh, was that
I'm not
last
that close
year? 54?
To you.
54 no. was last no. year. Got you. Well, you don't look a day over 60.
Still. I'll tell you that. Yeah. You know what? That's been my approach lately. Whenever I meet these, especially at the wrestling shows I'm at, and I meet these kids that are just like babies, like the talent, and they go, "Hey, how old are you?" And I'll fuck with them. I'll be like, "Oh, I'm 66. What? And they don't know if they should get hotter, or like, they don't know if I'm fucking with them or what. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, no, you're not. I'm like, yeah. But I look good for 66, right? Like, instead of just trying to play younger, I'll just go up as much as I possibly can.
Is that soft or hard?
I said it soft or hard?
No, when you said I'm 66, I would have looked at you and said, is that soft or hard?
Oh. Love that.
They don't get it.
No. I'm still in my 40s. Still happy to be there. And yes, I am getting to that age, though. You've been there for a long time. But I'm getting to that age where it's like, I don't know if I really want to celebrate these things anymore, because it's just a reminder that there's less time left than there was behind you.
Well,
so,
you got one more. You got one more till the big 5-0, so you might as well do it.
Just play it out.
The 5-0. I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
And then that's the end.
You got to think, you're already past midlife at 50, because who lives to 100 nowadays?
You probably will.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Good die young.
Well, shit.
Yeah. You'll live forever. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you check out The Law with Chris Tidwell and Brady Wedham. You can do that anywhere that you get your podcast downloaded. You can also look them up on YouTube. And you can also check out my show called Huge Pop with myself and Jimmy Corderas. This weekend, we will be joined by one of Jimmy's colleagues for many years, and a guy who's got a lot of experience in the industry, not just from his own personal experiences, but of course, being a member of the most famous refereeing family ever. Brian Hebner will be joining us. Of course, the son of Earl Hebner, the nephew of the late Dave Hebner. Brian is always fun to listen to and riff. And this isn't really an interview. It's just us talking about what's going on in the industry today. Lots of fun. Make sure you check that out. And we've got some killer guests lined up for the next few weeks, including an exclusive interview with the Motor City Machine Guns, who will be debuting for WWE on October 1st. So we will be dropping that interview that same week.
Ask Hebs, ask Baby Hebner if he has any resentment towards the old man for not having a twin so that he could actually live the gimmick the way that his old man did. Feel like he feels like he's been ripped off, Donnie.
What was with his DNA that he didn't get to have a twin?
Oh, just one of you like a normal fucking family.
He could have done the evil referee gimmick all over again.
Right?
like that poor kid hasn't had to live in the family shadow long enough, right? Let's just put that on there too. So yeah, check it out online, hugepopradio.com, or again, anywhere that you download podcasts. Make sure you like and subscribe this stupid show and tell your friends and do whatever it is you can do to help pump that algorithm. That is the Notorious TID, Chris Tidwell. My name is Donnie Da Silva. We are done this shit. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.